Welcome to the King's Chapel Alaska podcast. From wherever you are listening, we are so excited that you tuned in today. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word.
Matthew chapter 16. And find verse 16 through 19. We do have notes. Then we'll go to Matthew chapter 18. So let me just see. And a show of hands, who've heard this message before? The power of binding and loosing. All right. So just look around. Raise your hand high. There are people that won't raise their hand no matter what happens. But honestly, you've heard this message before. Raise your hand. Okay, so look around. Just look around if you got your hand raised. Okay, so it's way more than half haven't heard this message. So that's a good reason to preach it, because if you don't understand this word right here, you will not understand Kings. You won't understand who we are. You won't understand why we pray the way that we do. And so here we go. You ready? Matthew, New King James Version, starting in verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Verse 18. "And I say to you, and I also say to you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." If you got the New King James, I want you to read verse 19. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Turn over one chapter to chapter 18. Find verse 15. Let's read through verse 20. Are you ready? "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone." Wow. That certainly contradicts a lot of Facebook posts I've seen. Let's start over just in case you didn't hear that. "Moreover, if your brother sins against you," let's read it out loud to make sure it goes deep. Amen. "If your brother sins against you," come on, "go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. Verse 16, "But if you'll not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." Verse 17, "And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to hear the church, then let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector." Wow. "Assuredly, I say to you," some people finding that rather funny. Moreover, "whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Heavenly Father, thank you. Move in power. Let us never be the same. God, do something amazing tonight. All those that are listening, those that will listen in the future, mark us with revelation that causes revolution. Thank you that you have given us the keys of the king. Come on, thank you that you've given us the keys of the kingdom. May we use them all of our life, even after the preaching and even during this message. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And we do have notes for you once again. Profound message again. And it is like calisthenics for some of you. But some of you need to do some push-ups. Amen. Some of you need to do some calisthenics. You've slowed, perhaps, in your spiritual authority and in your prayer life. So maybe this will give you a little boost. Dr. Morocco, Dr. Cho. In fact, I'll go on to say that every great man of God, past as well as in the present, and I'm sure into the future, will preach messages that they have preached before. And in repetition, getting this revelation, if you will, deep down in your heart. You know how you actually got the revelation? It's when you're doing it. When it comes out in your life, it comes out in your language, when it's a part of your life where it's not something, you know, you ever have to learn something more than once? That means you didn't learn it. And so I've gone through something and it happened, you know, something happens where I made a poor choice and I realized I've done that before. I guess I didn't learn that lesson. I pray I learn it now. And I'd lay hands on myself. Jesus, help. If you don't have this kind of thing, this understanding in your life about prayer, of how to bind demons and how to bring freedom, then you need to get it down in the city of your soul. And so Dr. Morocco, different ones, they preach messages over and over, and I've done the same thing here. And I preach this message just about every single year. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 9, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one." That's the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments," listen closely, "I give you today and are to be in your hearts. Impress them on your children." Everybody say that. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. I mean, this is a command. And honestly, most people, they don't even know the Ten Commandments, don't know the word. It's not on their heart. It definitely ain't on their doorpost. And if they talk about it at home, that'd be a revival. We need to talk about the Word of God with our kids. We're in the midst of a Bible reading program. And if you're not involved, get involved. Get plugged in. Be a part of that. Start one. Start something. Do something. Talk with your kids about the Word. Read the Word to them. For the longest time, you know, when my kids are growing up, we my wife and I argued because I wanted to just read them the word. And Pastor Karen's like, "They can't understand the word." And I was a little aggressive with that, and she helped me. But because there's pictures and stories and sharing the stories of the word, then there's a time where they come actually to hear the word of God as it's translated in a proper translation. If you have the New World Translation, you want to burn that one, all right? Amen. You have the Book of Mormon, you would want to be getting rid of that. Amen. Talk about the Word of God with your children. Talk about this message with them. Take notes. Discuss it with the youth that are upstairs. And when, hey, this is what Pastor taught on. This is a main message for the church. Let's take a look at it. And listen, I know their attention span might be narrow. Just do a 5-minute Bible study and do it in 4 parts, for God's sake. But have it in your homes. Have prayer over your kids at night. We've got to be reminded of key understanding in the operation of this church and the vision of this house, because it's crucial. And you might have come from another church, and if you've transferred and come from another church, we welcome you. We're so glad you're here. Maybe you're a part of another church. You go there, and you're just here on a Wednesday night. I'm so glad you're visiting with us. You take this and use it in your walk with the Lord. These texts, Jesus repeats himself, this phrase, twice. Now, sometimes when my wife is talking to me, she has to repeat herself more than twice. But when Jesus is repeating himself, how many of you know? How many of you know when your wife is talking, you should probably listen also? When God says something twice, perk your ears up. The meaning of binding and loosing, and there's many opinions that we've looked at this. This is one of the main messages of King's Cathedral and chapels around the world. It's really a life message from Dr. James Morocco. You look at this at the basis of language, and when he was in university and getting his, I don't know, does he have 3 earned doctorates, I think, and he's getting his degrees, and he began to study intertestamental literature. So intertestamental literature is 400 years between Malachi and the book of Matthew. That 400-year period, there's a silence. Malachi is the last Old Testament prophet, unless you consider John the Baptist as an Old Testament prophet, then you could say he's the last one. But there's a 400-year period where there's a lot of books written. And some of those are, some people claim, the lost books of the Bible. They're not the lost books of the Bible. They're interesting, but they are not God's word. You know, the book of, I don't know, there's all kinds of crazy books out there. And strange things about how Jesus made a bird out of wood and then he made it fly and all kinds of stuff. And you're holding what is called the canon of Scripture. It's closed now. You can't add anything to it. You can't take anything away from it, and it's settled. But in that intertestamental literature, they would use this language called binding and loosing. Called what? Binding and loosing. Here's 1 definition, 2 definitions: binding demon spirits and loosing them. So I use this illustration. When I was a boy, we used to get the newspaper every day, and it would pile up after a while, and we had a whole pile of newspapers. And then my mother, she would give me the ball of twine, and she'd say, bind up the newspapers and, you know, put them out. Actually, we would put them aside for fires, and I think many of you probably do that today, binding them. So that meant, you know, you put the twine around, and there was a certain way to do it, and then you tie a knot, you know, and that's binding. If you bind your hands, and your hands would be bound maybe by a rope, or handcuffs would bind you. That would be a way of binding, right? So demon spirit, binding demon spirits and loosing them, meaning tying up and controlling, hindering, binding demon spirits and loosing them, all right? Setting them free from being bound. That's one definition. Another definition is binding demon spirits. Same thing, binding demon spirits and loosing their victims. Loosing their victims, because demon spirits come to victimize and hurt people. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. Look at how this phraseology is used in the New Testament, book of Revelation, chapter 20. You're going to look at a lot of scripture. I hope you brought a steak knife and you're ready to chew. You ready? Are you ready? All right. Book of Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 1. And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. And he seized the dragon. That's one angel, by the way, just one. Seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Did what to him? Bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the abyss. Go to Mark chapter 3 and verse 27. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties him up. But another version says binds him first. It's repeated in verse 29 of Matthew 12. Again, can anyone enter a strong man's house unless he and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong men? Look at Luke 13 and verse 16. Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what he bound, from her bondage, basically, from what bound her? Here it is: binding, loosing, binding, being set free. All right, Jesus makes two assumptions in Matthew 16, Matthew 18, and in many other places. The first assumption that's being made, which is, I could lose my mind on this particular section right here. The believer has authority. The believer has authority. Raise your right hand to heaven and say, I have authority in Christ. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're translated out of darkness into the kingdom of His Son, and you have authority over demon power. You have authority. And demons are many times like dogs. I got a black lab, love my black lab. My black lab's in training, about a year old, and just full of piss and vinegar. You know what I'm talking about? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That's not a curse word. What's wrong with you people? It's just ready to go. And I think it's got cabin fever, you know, because over this really cold, this cold spell that we just went through, we don't feel like going out and playing with the dog. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, I know you guys are maybe more Alaskan than my son, but I'm just saying. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, they overcame him. What are they talking? Who's they talking about? They're talking about Satan. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and loved their lives not so much as to shrink from death. This scripture declares that we have authority over the devil. Sickness, disease, we have dominion. Now, not everybody walks in the same dominion. There's people that walk in greater authority than others. How do you know they have authority? They use it. You'll never see me flinching when I'm walking out to get into my truck. I'm walking in my truck. I'm going to get in my truck. I'm going to put the keys in the truck. I'm going to start it. I'm going to drive away. It's not like, you know, like I'm ripping it off. Some of you pray like you're trying to rip something off. You've got authority over darkness. You've got authority over demon power. You have authority over sickness. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That's absolutely right. And if he ain't flee yet, then you ain't done resisting. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Well, go into all the world and preach to God. All power and authority he's given us. Colossians 2 and 9. For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Oh, let's just read that again. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. That means Jesus is fully God. All right? And you have been given fullness in Christ. So let's just do some math here. If Jesus has been given the deity fully, and we've been given fullness in Christ, that would mean that we have the fullness of God on the inside of us. And then he's the head over every power and authority. Now, we're not God, and this is not the fullness of the kingdom. We don't have the Spirit without limit. God, Jesus had the Spirit without limit. There's a limit to what we have, but no man has reached up to receive all that he has to offer. Don't you put the limit on it. Let him lead you. Listen, you could get hungry and thirsty. I heard another story about Gustavo Paez, a prophet. What an amazing story. This guy over at my friend's church in Texas somewhere, that smaller state. Place is packed, 1,000 people it holds, I think, or just over that. People couldn't even get in, standing room only. And he does things like this. We'll have him up. I'm going to bring him up. And he does things like write out people's names on pieces of paper, shows the pastors, folds up the paper, and puts it in his pocket. He does it differently, different times. And then walks around and picks somebody out. And he picks them out. And does October 23 mean anything to you? And they're like, oh my God, that's the day that my mother died. And he pulls out the piece of paper and shows it to them. And when they read it, you know, and then the camera looks at it. When they read it, they're like, it's the name of the mother and the disease that she died from. And gives her this prophetic word, but she can't even hear it because she's just like, she's out. For the revelation and the power of God. But here, I don't have that. I don't have a gift like that. Hallelujah. I got gifts to catch my iPad, though. Come on. I don't have a gift like that, but wouldn't that be amazing? Joe. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing?
Well, you just.
You know what that is? That's shooting three-pointers. Like Steph Curry. I think, I know there's sovereign deposits of miracle power, but then there's those that broke in and contended and fought for it till it's released. I didn't even have a brain cell when I came to the church. So whatever you see here, he trained my hands for war, and I had to go get it. I had to get it. He trained my hands for war. He's a lifter of my head, and I'm going to go get some more gifts, so help me God. Can you say amen? Amen. But we have authority. Come on, say, I've got authority. Come on, say it again like you mean I have authority. Wow. Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. 1 and 3, pardon me. The Apostle Paul prays prayers that for us to know the power of God. The power of God at work in us. For us to have a revelation of the authority we have. You're not some dirt bag that just got saved and waits for Jesus to come and rescue you. You've got authority. You've got power. I mean, yeah, take this message. Go home and beat the fool out of the devil with the blood of the lamb when you get home. Evict him out of your house, off of your life, off of your marriage, off of your kids. You know you have authority when you operate in it. If you don't operate in authority, then you don't have it. I don't care what you said. I don't care how many scriptures you read. If you don't move in a dimension of authority in the kingdom, then you don't understand that you have it. Casting out devils, healing the sick, that's normal Christianity. And I found that authority, just like my black lab always challenges my authority. You know, that's just like the devil. He'll challenge your authority. So just because something doesn't go or turn on the first time you take authority over it doesn't mean that you don't have authority. It just means it's like full of piss and vinegar. You understand what I'm talking about? How rude. Luke 10. Verse 19, behold, I give you authority to tread on scorpions and serpents over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall hurt you. Matthew 28, 18, and Jesus came and said, all authority has been given in heaven and earth has been given to me, and I give it to you, basically. So there's a relationship, two assumptions he makes in these texts that we read. One, that the believer has authority. Number two, there's a relationship between heaven and earth. There's a relationship between heaven and earth. Turn to John 20 and verse 21. And Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. Now, the Catholic Church has used that text for the basis of the priest, along with some other ones in the book of James. But it's not saying that. What John's talking about here is that if you share the gospel and people repent of their sins, they're forgiven. That's what he's talking about. But if you don't share the gospel, then you're condemning people to hell. Dr. Morocco just preached a message on hell. I'm gonna snatch that thing and put my spin on it. It was so powerful. It was amazing. See, if you don't have a revelation of hell, you won't know really what you're saved from. I've had people ask me, as I witness to them and invite them to the church, they ask me, so what kind of church are you? You one of those really happy churches? I'm like, yeah, yeah, we are. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you like that hellfire, one of those churches? Yeah, yeah, we're one of those. Not we preaching on it all the time, but if you don't hear a message, listen, Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven. Don't get all hung up on it, but man, you got to have that a part of your discipleship. Come on. This scripture is interesting here, this John 20. You know, there's a relationship between what you do in earth and what happens in heaven. For instance, I'm very thankful for Pastor Kirsten Davis and the Davis family. God called them up here. And the day that they got here, the weekend that they got here, the very weekend they got here, sovereignly, we didn't do any advertising. We weren't ready for it. We didn't know how it happened. But sovereignly, on the first Sunday that they were here, our children's church went from like 80 kids to 160. It doubled. I think those are the numbers. I don't remember exactly, but we weren't ready for the children's ministry to double. You know why? Because I don't know how to deal with children's ministries doubling. This side, more so. Over there, you need a special touch from God. But he does. He knows how. And he came and his wife, I mean, they were just like got dropped right into, you know, what they were raised in for 20 years. He's still the children's ministry of 500 kids, buses going all over the planet, people coming in and, you know, all walks of life. He's done that. So one, you know, 160, 180 or whatever it went to, you know, it was a little messy, but we got this. What would happen if he didn't come? What would happen if you didn't open that life group? I think about my own story and how people had decided to open their homes, and my mama would go there and pray for her wayward. I wasn't even wayward. I never got in the way, so I was just word. They prayed for me. And I run into these people. I keep running into them 25 years later, and they're like, yeah, you're her son, right? And they'll start crying. We prayed for you. What if they didn't open it? Maybe I wouldn't be here. Maybe you wouldn't be here if somebody didn't witness to you, or the people that you shared your faith with. You didn't reach out to them. You make a difference in the earth by the way that you live, the way that you walk, the way that you talk. And it's either a difference to impact heaven, plunder hell, populate heaven, or you can be rejecting people. Some of you are mean as a junkyard dog, man. You need to get healed, you ugly, mean, baptized in lemon juice. What's going to happen in Alaska? What's going to happen around the world is because God will touch a people who will have an understanding of their authority and have an understanding that what they do in the earth with the life that's given them will make a difference to eternity. You're going to die. Some of you are more than halfway. What you do with the remaining part of your life, if you're 16 or 17 or 10 or 9, get a hold of your God-given authority and get a hold of the importance of your life. Your life matters. There's purpose for you. Okay, well, I didn't know that. Well, now you do. Get off your duff and get to work for the glory of the Lord. You don't want to stand before the throne and be like, hey, what's up? You'd be like, what happened, bro? What happened? Who put the F in the chat? What happened? That's Gen Z. If you missed it, I just learned it about 2 days ago. I didn't curse. It's okay. People are like, all right, how to bind and loose. 7 ways. I have a high school boys life group at my house. They teach me. So I teach them. Believe me, they need a lot of teaching. And I teach them and they teach me. 7 ways to bind demons. Everybody say 7 ways to bind demons right from the text. All right, number one or A, proclamation. Everybody say proclamation. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. When you share the good news of Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's a text. When you share the gospel, it releases power, it binds demons and looses victims just by declaring Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected. Eduardo Sovosa, one of my heroes in the faith, he was a part of the Argentinian revival, still alive and leads a tremendous ministry towards marketplace leaders. He said it's this way, that when you stand, you decree before heaven and before hell that you know that the devil knows that Jesus was crucified and resurrected from the dead, and that because of his death, because of his blood, because of that, you have power over the darkness. And so there'll be times when we'll walk into a hotel room. We always bless our hotel rooms. We walk in a hotel room, I just take authority instantly. I take authority over any wickedness that happened here, any kind of sin that took place here. I cleanse my hotel room. I cleanse my bed. I'm careful of the TV. I'm not going to get defiled. This is a place of sanctuary now. I plead the blood and I sever every tie of darkness in Jesus' name. I declare this place to be my castle for the next night, 2 nights, week, however long you're staying there in Jesus' name. And I'll tell you, there's times where I'm rushing and I forget. Just happened. We'll stay in a place. And all of a sudden, you know, you're having dreams and some strange stuff and have to wake up and kick everybody out the room. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know people. I'm talking about demons. Got to kick them out the room. And one of the ways I do that is just by declaring, thank you, Jesus, that you died on a cross and you rose again from the grave. Thank you that you took captivity captive. Thank you that I'm your son, blood washed, filled with your Holy Spirit. I thank you that I have power on the inside. I thank you, Lord, right now every assignment of the darkness is broken just by preaching the gospel. And you don't even have to yell. I kind of like it, though. Devil! It's more fun. But that's my personality. You can use your personality. I blew my voice out many times. One time I blew my voice out and I had to, you know, do services and we're going through deliverance with people. I'm like, Lord, he said, just whisper. Devil, you've got to go now. People getting set free left and right. But like I said, I prefer yelling. It's more fun. Hallelujah. Everybody say proclamation. When you proclaim the good news of Jesus, his death, his resurrection, it puts the devil in handcuffs. It puts demons in handcuffs. Praise. Number two, praise. Worship. Worship. Everybody say worship. You go to the Old Testament. when Jehoshaphat listened to the prophet in 2 Chronicles 20 and sent the worshipers out before the army. And the Lord set ambushments, which is not a word that we use anymore. It's a great word. Because they worshiped. They worshiped. Paul and Silas in the midnight hour were singing psalms and hymns, singing praise and worship. And what happened? An earthquake, all the gates of the prison flew open and all their chains fell off. Power is released when you worship. In fact, I'd have to say that the majority of the breakthroughs I've seen in spiritual warfare for me, well, they included worship. Worship is, I'm a worshiper. I mean, when I worship, God touches me. It's just that's the way I'm wired up. Some of you like don't want to sing, don't like music. That's okay. Then proclaim the gospel. There's lots of different ways. But worship is so powerful. And I'll go ahead and tell the story since it's only like 8:10. We were sent to the island of Molokai a long time ago when we first became pastors. And we went over there. I think we're not quite living on the island just yet, but we were installed as the new pastors and our stuff was packed up. We were living at Pastor Ann's house, I think, right around that time. If you want the details and the dates and everything, just talk to Pastor Karen. Anyway, I headed over to the Molokai and we had church service and God moved and went to drive up to Dr. Richard Langer's house. He had gotten saved. And he was probably in his 60s. He had delivered every baby on the islands since he was 30 years old. So he knew every single person on the island. He was their doctor for all those years that delivered all the babies on Molokai. So everybody knew him, and he was having a huge impact, reaching people. So we go up to his house, and it's time for my anointed nap on Sunday. Hallelujah. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? That's just part of discipleship. You nap on Sunday, get up, drink a cup of coffee, have a snack, go back to church. That's how we were trained, and they have church Sunday night. So I go back for my nap, and his cell phone rings, and, you know, we're just finishing lunch kind of thing, and I'm ready to lie down and get up and review my Sunday night message. Phone rings, and he's like, okay, yeah, the pastor's right here. Oh, God, okay. Okay, yeah, hold on. Pastor, I'm like, what? Because you got to know that Molokai was like, it was a training ground for kahunas and witch doctors. It was a lot of darkness there. And I'd heard all the stories of things flying around rooms and spirit of death coming on you in a shower and people almost getting killed by the sacred grove of creepy trees and all kinds of stuff like that. So I've got my spiritual kung fu on, and Dr. Langer's moved by it. Like, okay, Pastor, there's this lady, they're friends of ours. She's got a devil. I'm like, okay, uh-huh. And she's locked herself in a barn, and they're hearing all kinds of animals and other voices and things coming out of there, and this is her husband. We got to go over there. Can we go right now? I said, no. He's like, what? I said, no, I need to pray. He's like, okay, the pastor needs to pray. I said, we'll call him in a little while. And so there was more wisdom to that than I knew. Honestly, I was trying to like crawfish away from that thing. Let somebody else cast out the devil. I don't want to go cast out no barn devil. I don't want to have anything to do with an animal noise. Other people coming out of some lady's mouth. Go call a Pentecostal or something. I don't know. I'm just telling you, man, I'm like green as green could be. I've read the books, but like, this is a Molokai devil. You don't understand. Not a cute little religious devil. We're talking about a slithering devil, like a real one. Not a cell phone devil. Those are bad. But I'm talking about... Anyway, I take my nap, which is no nap. My nap's like... I just... like praying tongues, try to go out, wake up, it's too hot. Anyway, we got up and we went. And I remember driving in there in Dr. Langer's van, and we came down, we dropped into this house, and the temperature changed, easy 15 degrees. And I mean, like, it's hot there, and it was, we dropped down into this property, the temperature changes, and I smell the most foul, I've smelled it before that. It's the smell of Satan. He's the lily of the valley. Satan's the lord of the dunghill. So I'm just telling you, there's a smell That's biblical what I just said, Beelzebub. Lord of the crap heap, praise God. Yeah, you know he is, amen. So, we drive in, and the husband opens the door. He's like, she's over there. And he just shuts the door. There's no like aloha, and they put Lay's on your neck and welcome you onto their property, and everybody gets a bowl of rice and some sushi. That's not how that happened. See, he points, shuts the door. So we drive there, we go to the, and some of you have heard this story, but it's a good one. We go there, we walk in, and I'm terrified. I don't mean I'm kind of scared, I'm terrified, but I'm with my new leader, and I'm the new pastor. And I have way too much pride and ego to back away. And then I have a little bit of faith that I know that if he, I've seen him said, I've read books, and I've seen some demons, but this is another level. And so I walk in like I'm John Wayne in the Holy Ghost. Of course, you could probably see a pee spot when I walked in because I was totally terrified. Soiled my pants practically. It's a God's honest truth. So scared. Dr. Langer holding on to my arm. And I just faked it. Or faked it. We get to the place. It's obviously where she is because we hear this, unbelievably horrible noise, unbelievably horrible smell. And I'm so scared. And he's just, Dr. Langer's looking at me. And the growling and everything stops and the voices stop. I said, open the door. The growling starts again. It's ugly, chaotic. I'm like, okay, that didn't work. And I say to myself, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. In the name of Jesus, open the door. And we start hearing noise and the door opens. When that door opened, we saw a woman so tormented with her eyes rolled up in the back of her head. All you could see is the whites of her eyes. And her teeth are gnashing, which was a horrifying sight. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. I know what that looks like. You'd think all of her teeth would be chipping off. That's how hard they're gnashing. And the sound of that was horrifying all by itself. And she backs away, shaking, growling, and hits the floor in like a crisscross position and sits there, like vibrating, kind of popping up and off the ground. It was terrifying. And so I sit there. I don't feel an ounce of God's presence. I don't feel anything. I feel the absence of God's presence, and I want to run and scream like a little girl. And Dr. Langer says to me, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Actually, he's on this side. What are we going to do, Pastor? What are we going to do? I said, well, hallelujah. Let's pray. You know, we're kind of like, you know, my tongues weren't even working. And then all I could think of is let's worship. Now, I know hundreds of songs. Honestly, I'm going to know a lot of songs. Okay, so I said, let's worship. He's like, all right, let's worship. So I start trying to sing Amazing Grace. And it was like, Amazing Grace, I can't find it. 2, 3, 4 times. I think around the fifth time, I found the Amazing Grace. I found it. And my heart entered into worship 6, 7 times through, 8 times through. By the time, I don't know how many times we sang that. I'd have sang all the verses, but I could only remember that part. Sang it over and over. The power of God fell on us. And the rest of the story, I tell you, as one who was taken over by the power and the fire and the authority of Jesus himself. Because all fear left me. And then all I know is I was then absolutely in action. It was like God put me on like a glove and did God stuff. And I went and laid hands on this lady, and she shot right off the ground, levitating off the ground by 2 or 3 feet. And every so often, her feet would hit the ground, and she'd come up, and she got delivered. And the story goes on. She got delivered. She got saved. I remember when her eyes came back, like, you know, like a, I wouldn't know about slot machines, but some of you do know. It kind of looked like that. The slots just, the eyes came back. And she starts crying. We led her to Jesus. We picked her up off the ground. She got baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And she came to the church, and the rest of the story is a horrible tragedy. Worship breaks the power of darkness. Worship, praise, binds demon power. Let's move on. You want to hear the rest of the story about the girl? Do you want to hear the story? All right. So she was a prostitute, his wife, but she did prostitution for her drug habit. And she came into the church, and she didn't have any other clothes and her really super short shorts and her clothes that were inappropriate. And we tried to help her with drop cloths, you know, those little blankies we have that we, you know what I mean? The mothers in the church tried to help her, but people were so freaked out and didn't know how to handle her. And she felt so rejected. And so we tried. I mean, I'm like, sent the ladies of the church. How many of you know, I can't be all there comforting her and everything. And she needed to cry and put her head on someone's shoulder and cry for like months, you know, that kind of thing, get healed. And she started that process. She brought one of her other friends who was caught in the same bondage. And then something happened in the church where she got offended and freaked out, and she disappeared. And later, she was found in multiple parts of the island, and she died. And I have great comfort knowing that she went to heaven. I know she called on the Lord in that desperate hour of hers. You can take authority over darkness by proclaiming the good news of Jesus through worship. It worship binds. When we get together and we're worshiping, it binds demon power. Number three, or C, promises. Everybody say promises. Peter said, you are the Christ. That's a promise being fulfilled. The promises of God bind demon power. How many of you know that the promises of God are the basis by which we pray? So you got to get the promises and you proclaim them. You decree them. You pray them out. Can you say amen? Amen? Purity. This is a big one. Listen, this is a big one. I heard report of another moral failure in the church in the valley. Listen, the devil's plan to keep. And that little thing you got going with your at a glance on Instagram, it ain't cute. And it's releasing demon power. And when you, the Victoria's Secret catalog comes, sir, that's just a catalog, right? But you know darn well you're looking a little too long, you're on a hook real strong. And if you don't have purity, you're headed down the road. And you're soon, the devil knows everything you do. What you do in darkness is the level of maturity that you have. What you do when nobody will find out, the way that you live when nobody will find out, that is the level of maturity that you have. And the devil, those things open the door for the demonic. So if you're drinking and getting drunk and just you and your bottle and nobody knows and your wife is sleeping and there you are in the middle of the night and you just whack back a couple shots of Jack to take the edge off and then you get a little hammered and then you go to sleep and drink a lot of toothpaste or whatever you do. I mean, I don't know. I'm all up in somebody's business. I'm telling you, purity will bind demon power. You've got to live right. If you don't live right, you're going to be used as an example for hell. You'll be used as illustrations for hell. Purity is crucial. The way that you think, the way that you walk, the way that you talk, the inner chambers of your heart. Purity. Matthew 18, if your brother sins against you, go. Wow. A fourth way to bind and loose is purity. If you live for God, you'll stay free from the devil. Now, I can tell you endless testimonies. Purity has power. Some people think they can just say they're a Christian and go to church and receive Jesus and then live half in the bag with all kinds of compromise. You ain't ever going to fulfill the plan and destiny that God has for you. And you're being set up at the right times. You blow up and destroy as many people's lives as the devil can get you to. You got to live holy. I have a little saying, and it came from Dr. Morocco. It's on my heart. It's just emblazoned on my heart. He said, Daniel, you be humble and broken and transparent all your life, and God will use you. I heard that, I think, the second week I was saved, and it was a word from the Lord for me. That's what I'm doing today. That's what I've done. I'm going to keep doing that. I was talking to somebody, you know, regarding purity, and you know, we all have a tendency to get a little weird. Listen, if you start thinking weird, you start thinking off, you had better do something about that. the openness that I have with my wife, we have zero secrets. If I start going through things, you know, I'm not talking about open. Sin starts here, ladies and gentlemen. When I go through intense pressure, there's times where I'll have like an explosion of violence and different demonic assignments. Man, I have to take authority over those things, and I pray. I have a level of authority, and I get through victory myself. But there are times when that's just a little bit harder fight. I'm just being real with you. And that battle's just a little bit more. And then I talk with my wife. I'll have her lay hands on me. I'll have my family pray for me. Then there's times where that I can't seem to get through the other side of that. In other words, it doesn't break. And then I just pull out the big gun. And I call my pastor. And I tell him, hey, doctor, I messed up. Can't quite tell you what. This happened. Got offended at this. I forgive them. It's all right. But man, I'm not sleeping. I've got this stuff. It's just twisting in my head. He says, let me pray for you. Shut up. Sounds something like that. How do you know? I've heard it a few hundred times. And he prays for me and bam, I instantly get free. Many times I laugh or I'll cry and it's just like, woo. It's like going to the chiropractor. Some of you so out of joint, but you're not honest enough with God or with somebody else to get yourself put back together. And the devil puts shame on you. Oh, you wicked Christian. You've been having thoughts of lust. You've already backslidden. No, you didn't. Come on. You keep allowing them to dwell there. You're going to build a house that he'll move into. Yeah. I am preaching like way better than you're amening. You have to learn to take your thoughts captive. You have to be honest. We don't do things on our own. You know what I mean by that? We do things as a team. In fact, I'm due to come into the chiropractic office. Everybody say purity. Purity. Am I getting through to you? Yes. You know what's strange? Listen, if you're never talking with people about different struggles in your family, you're not getting discipled. So I don't care how holy you are and what church you grew up in, and you were baptized before you came out your mother's womb, you were born speaking in tongues, and you walked on water last week. You're going to have challenges. When you go through those challenges, who knows your weakness? Who are you really accountable to? I ain't feeling the love, Pastor Kirsten. I'm just not feeling it. Who holds your shut-up card? My wife is the number one person that holds mine. Of course, the Lord. But she'll tell me, you have an attitude problem. What's your problem? You have a problem. No, I don't. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And then I'll be like, okay. You know, like 5 minutes later, maybe. And sometimes I don't even know what my problem is. And then I've got to pray and we kind of process and just go like, what? And then find out where the entry point is, and I make sure that's closed. I'll have her pray for me. Listen, purity is crucial. Don't have a secret life. You have a secret life, you're soon to be destroyed. If you have an open life, then you'll live free and you'll bind demon power all your life. You can't do life alone. It takes people. You don't get discipled. You don't get discipled in a crowd. You get discipled with the Lord through relationships, one-on-one. I mean, this is discipleship, you understand, but you have to go to the next level. Life groups are crucial. Teams are crucial. Developing relationships with people that you can be real with and aren't going to backstab you on Facebook. By the way, this is just bonus for you. If they're backstabbing somebody else, talking to you about somebody else, they're going to backstab you. Free word. Just a free word for you. All right. So you bind demon power. What are the different ways we've gone so far? And I've got to hurry. Proclaiming the gospel binds demon power and looses victims. Worship or praise binds demon power, looses victims. And that's, you know, Satan was Lucifer was a worship leader. According to Ezekiel 28:13, Isaiah 14, you can go and look at that later. That's what many theologians believe. Promises of God, proclaiming the promises. You are the Christ. That's a promise, the promise of the Messiah. Get the promises of God. Pray them. Amen. Purity, living pure. Prayer. Everybody say prayer. I don't know why people are so inconsistent with prayer. Well, I guess I do know why. Because the flesh is weak and the spirit's willing. You've got to be consistent in prayer. You want to take authority over demon power. You want to walk in freedom. You want to make a difference in this state, difference in this nation. You want your life to mean something. You're going to have to be connected to the one who gave you life. And by the power of prayer, you got to pray. Everybody say prayer.
Prayer.
How's your prayer life? I think we could go deeper in prayer. Listen, no matter who you are, you can go deeper in prayer. There's greater level of intimacy in prayer. And I believe in soaking prayer, but I believe in authoritative prayer also. We got to pray. Right there, it's in verse 19. Jesus goes on, verse 20, where the two or three are gathered. That's another word about being personal. Why not thousands? Why does it say two or three and not thousands? There I am. Two or three. Like if it's just yourself, and I come down and I get Pastor Karen, I'm no longer alone. I'm no longer alone. We are a formidable foe for the enemy. You know why? As long as we don't allow for the enemy to divide us, as long as we don't have secret sin, one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. You have to develop a personal relationship with your spouse, with your kids, with your friends. You have to, listen, pick good, sound, healthy friends and get personal with them. You know what I mean? I mean that in the most beautiful of ways. I mean, Pastor Gil, I love you, man. You know, all my staff, we're close. We're not, none of these guys. Shoot. We're family.
Yeah.
This is not some job. How do you like your vocation, Pastor Davis? How do you like your vocation, Pastor Gil? To pick up my dad, he just doesn't understand. This is not a vocation. It's a calling. And God called us to work together for this season. Maybe people will go off. I don't know how that'll happen in the future. But I was, you know, talking with Pastor Gil just recently. And he just gave me a heads up. Oh, we'd want to be careful of that. I thought, ooh, you're right. What are you talking about? It's none of your business. It's personal. If you don't have that, you're toast. Let's have a praise break because I feel a little tension in the room.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah. I don't want to be personal. I don't like people. They hurt my feelings. You need to get healed. And you need to learn to pick healthy relationships. Amen. Quit, you know, partnering up with your uncle that smokes 5 packs of cigarettes a day and hates Jesus. What you need to do is shut up. Partner with somebody that loves God. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. A minister to them. Love your uncle, the 5-pack-a-day guy. Love him, but don't make him your number one confidant. I found people actually want to have confidence with people that'll agree in their compromise. So they have friends at levels like that. They'll share this level because they know to be like, yeah, you know, God knows your heart. Yeah, you know. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good work that he began, he'll complete it. Amen. Praise God. Instead of sharing with somebody you know is going to lovingly backhand you with the love of God. What are you thinking? David sent off all his close men. If Joab was there in the issue of the sin of Bathsheba, Joab just sucker punched him. He'd have punched him in the throat. What are you thinking? You know, that's our man. That's our mate. That's our buddy. That's our bro, man. That's his wife if you lost your ever-loving mind. Have you lost your corn-fed mind? That's Star Trek. Star Trek. Okay. Lastly. You guys never saw Star Trek? There's a couple scenes you want to skip. Consider impurity. Amen. It's not a child movie. Pastor Karen put it on and we watched it. Anyway, last one. Presence. Presence. Everybody say presence. The presence of God. Come on, lift your hands. Give me some keys. So you lift your hands. The presence of God binds demon power and looses victims. Come on, lift your voice all across this place. I heard somebody teach that there's no such thing as binding and loosing. Well, you'd have to cut that right out of Scripture. Hallelujah. Whenever you're ready. The presence. Psalm 91. Oh my. It's 8:37. Netflix can wait. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the pestilence, perilous pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers. And under His wings you will take refuge. You know, that's a picture of being so close to the ark. The wings of the cherubim create a shadow on you. Ark is a picture of the power of God, the presence of God. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you and keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, this is the Lord talking now, because He set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him and set Him on high, because He's known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Many keys, much truth in the psalm. When you walk and try your best to abide in His presence, it brings its own security and supernatural protection over you. Binding demon power, loosing its victims. Binding demon power, loosing its victims. The presence of God. Come on, stand up on your feet all across this place. You gotta yearn for His presence. Long for Him, though He's not far from any one of us. Come on, just call on Him tonight. When you come to church, do you long for His presence? When you come into service, do you wake up in the morning? Try waking up in the morning and talking to Him first before anything else, before you check the news. Nothing like the presence of the Lord God. There's nothing like the presence of the Lord God. He is my refuge. He's my strong tower. He's my sun and my shield. There's nothing like the presence of the Lord God. The Lord God. The Lord. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand, there's pleasure forevermore. God, thank you for this principle of binding and loosing. We will be a people that proclaim the good news of Jesus. We will proclaim the gospel. We will be a worshiping people. We will stand upon your promises. We will live in purity. Come on, say it. I will live in purity. And if you're not living in purity, then correct yourself, repent, and develop some relationships that you can be accountable to so you don't have that thing twisting you inside out. I'll tell you something. You know, one of the great gifts we have in our house, Karen, we lie down at night, peace. Unless I have to pray through something, which seems to be about half the time lately. But that's okay. But as far as it between me and the Lord, God, peace. He loves me. Ah, I'm his favorite one. So are you. You should think of yourself that way. I got peace like a river in his presence. In fact, we endeavor to live our lives that way. So as we're moving along, we try to stay in step with him. Sometimes we get ahead and go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Try to stay in step with him. And if I start losing my peace, that's the Lord. Like, what's going on? Where are we? Start getting in the flesh. No, no, no. Pull your reins in. Correct yourself. Pray. God, wait a second. Did I get offended? Did something happen? Live your life that way. Purity. Prayer. Everybody say prayer. Personal. Got amazing leaders here. And they're imperfect. But we have amazing leaders, and it's a growing team. Connect with one of them. Get in a life group. Get in a team. Let me say that again. Get in a life group. Get in a team. Would you say that with me? Get in a life group. Get in a team. You say, well, they have enough help. No, we don't. We don't even remotely have enough. And besides, we're exponentially growing, so we need more and more teams. There's a team back there for children's ministry right now. Now you got to be qualified. You got to take an FBI background check, get fingerprinted, all that. Amen. So if that's not going to work for you, you don't want to apply for that. Amen. That's a specialized ministry, and it should be. Someone say amen. Amen. We need to quadruple that. Wouldn't that be great? We just said, no, I'm sorry. You can't work in children's ministry today because this is team A. You're team D. We have four different teams, and you're D. So I want to work there. No, D, that's the fourth Sunday of the week. Takes about a month. Fourth Sunday of the month. And sometimes there's five. We need 100 people serving, doing children's ministry. And we could rotate. Do you know in some churches, we need? We need a servolution. It's like a revolution, but it's people serving. A servolution that people want to serve. See, when you get a hold of the gospel and the love of God and what happens in your life through this corresponding, do you understand? A corresponding anointing, the power of God will come on you actually to do the task. And that when you're doing that, I don't know why I'm holding this up. The guide, amen. Go ahead, get the guide. That corresponding anointing will come on you and it'll stay on you when you go home and when you go off to work. And people will just look and see, and you'll see favor and blessings following you. Like Obed-Edom and the ark that came to his house. He had sunshine on a cloudy day, and his plants grew exponentially quickly, and his wife kept getting pregnant. And it was only 3 months, so I guess that's probably not true. But you look at Obed-Edom, whatever he did, he quit his job and followed the ark the whole rest of his life because of the presence of God, the power of God. You start serving. Get in a life group. Get in a team. There's a card in your seat pocket in front of you. You join a team. Plug in. So I don't want it. Well, that's because you're selfish. You need to get over yourself. Serve. Amen. And develop.